We've been through some tough years with the recession, and we've had to undergo some pretty serious cutbacks. Obviously, the state had some high-priority items they had to deal with, like prisons and Medicaid, in recent years. And now, with the budget being in the good shape that it's in, it was really gratifying to see Governor Otter step up and identify higher education as his main priority this legislative session.
Remind us where the Boise State budget is now in fiscal year 16 versus at its peak pre-recession.
Well, we're down. We're certainly down a few million dollars if you take a look at let's not go to the recession, but go back 10 years. If you take a look at the budget over a 10 to 12 year period and you look at the growth, the incredible growth we've had in enrollment, and then compare it to where we are in the budget, we're a few million down from where we were in those days. So clearly, the higher education budget has taken a pretty substantial hit thanks to the recession. But boy, I have to say that Governor Otter is doing everything he can this session to make up for it in the face of what will be some legislative opposition who will think that this money ought to be handed back to taxpayers in the way of relief, or it should go in some other direction. But when you look at how higher education has been starved in these recent years, I think this is a very reasonable budget, and I commend the governor for putting it on the table.
What do you think has changed over at the Capitol in regards to how funding for higher education is perceived and looked at in terms of priorities?
Well, I think there's been an increasing concern among legislators in recent years, especially legislators on JFAC, that they simply can't forever use higher education as the checkbook.
And JFAC being the Joint Finance and Appropriations Committee, the main budget writing body.
That's right. And so I've heard a number of legislators who serve on that committee say that we just simply can't turn our backs on higher ed and always look at it as the last priority instead of a high priority. So I do think not only in the governor's office, but in the legislature, you have leadership that is really concerned about where higher education is going in this state. We're trying to get to this 60% goal, 60% of Idahoans educated with some form of post-secondary education by 2020. And frankly, that's not going too well at the moment, and we have a lot of work to do. I think legislators are really cognizant of the need to put some more money in that program so we can get to that goal.
In talking with reporters last week, Governor Otter mentioned a stat that he said that he and I believe lawmakers are also getting reminded of on a fairly regular basis now from the Labor Department. Close to 100,000 jobs by 2020 that may not be able to be filled because the workforce in Idaho, projections are, may not be prepared enough to fill that type of work. That's different than Dr. Custer going to JFAC and saying, we need more money. That's an economic development angle. How important do you think that messaging coming from state labor department and economic developers is as opposed to the messaging that you and others at higher education institutions across Idaho have taken to JFAC in recent years?
Well, those of us in higher education have the responsibility to reformat and reorganize our offerings in such a way that our degrees are more relevant and they do match employer needs. That's the reason why we've created the College of Innovation and Design here at Boise State, for the express purpose of rethinking the degrees that we're offering and add new degrees to the landscape that really make us and our graduates more viable in the marketplace of today. So I do think that the legislature and the governor are both right in demanding of higher education and presidents and their faculties in particular that they do an even better job of preparing our graduates for the real jobs that are out there, not the jobs that disappeared from the marketplace 10 years ago.
Is it somewhat frustrating as a university president where you've taken this message to lawmakers year after year, your counterparts at other institutions have as well, same message essentially coming from different places now, perhaps resonating in a little bit different way, sort of saying, hey, you know what? We've been at this. We've been asking for this. You haven't funded us the way that we've wanted, but we're glad you're here now.
I think that's probably it. We're glad they're here now. It is frustrating over the years. But to know that they're beginning to see that higher education is obviously linked to success in the marketplace, in the workplace, and it's going to take funding to get us there. It's just a very good time to be in higher ed after, as I said earlier, some very tough years during the recession.
These are big ships to steer. You mentioned the changes that were announced in 2014 at Boise State. Governor Otter is talking about 2020. It's 2016. That's not very far away. How long is it going to take to right size or to, I guess, to better match the students that the universities across Idaho are producing with the needs that are being projected?
Well, it's going to take some time. And by the way, this isn't an Idaho problem alone. This is a 50-state problem. In my radio program interviewing authors, I interviewed a guy the other day who basically said by 2050, there's going to be huge unemployment lines across this nation as technology puts people out of work. So, and his point is that higher education can't even come to the rescue here because technology is going to wipe out jobs. It's not a question of getting retooled for a new technology job. They won't be there thanks to robotics, machine learning, artificial intelligence, and you name it. So we in higher education and our entire society and country have a lot of thinking to do about how we're going to adjust to a new marketplace and a new economy that is so high tech and so high touch that it will have a significant impact on jobs. And I don't think everybody can turn around and point the finger at higher education 10 years from now and say, well, blame them because they didn't produce the right people. If you blame them for anything, maybe you blame them for advances in technology that did, in fact, put some folks out of work who weren't prepared for it.
How are those needs, those adjustments that universities like Boise State will need to make in the coming years affect state budgets?
Well, that's a very interesting question, Scott. Here's where we are in Idaho today, and I don't think it's much different in higher education in general. Enrollment goes up and down at various universities, both within Idaho and outside of Idaho. The interesting thing about budgets in higher education is that they tend to go up or they stabilize when enrollments are still going down. And at some point, I think the legislature, the state board, and the governor is going to have to look hard at where are the enrollment increases and have we appropriately funded universities who are experiencing those enrollment increases and where is enrollment declining? And if it's declining, how can you justify the same budget for a university that you did 5 or 10 years ago when there were just a heck of a lot more students attending? At some point, higher education, not only in Idaho, but in other states as well, is going to have to deal with that because I think they've probably been pretty well protected from some of the cuts that you would expect when organizations shrink in size. And I'm not so sure that's really happened in higher education.
That's a message I remember you taking to the Joint Finance and Appropriations Committee, at least last year and perhaps beyond, where your obvious goal is to differentiate Boise State from other universities across the state and say our needs are different. That hasn't worked to an acceptable degree, I'm sure, in your opinion to this point. How do you go back with that same message and hope that it works again?
Well, I answered your question rather than decide I'm going to go march off to the state legislature with that campaign again. We've campaigned. We have done everything we know how to do at Boise State in educating our legislators and our governor on this issue. It's a political issue. It's an issue that is political at the state board level. It's political at the legislative level. And it's just very, very difficult given the political makeup of the state and the significant power that has grown up in some of these areas for Boise State to make that case. And I, having spent 18 years in elected office and 10 years in a legislature, I get that. And there comes a point where you live with what you have. You've done everything you know to get the message out there because that's my job as president of Boise State. But on the other hand, you find other ways of getting the job done. We here at Boise State these days are calling ourselves an enterprise university because we think that really symbolizes the need for us to create public-private partnerships, working with state government sometimes, but working with the private sector in other times. Our new Honors College is the perfect example of that. That involves no state funding whatsoever, and it's a public-private partnership we couldn't do on our own. That's probably the future of public higher education as some of these issues are getting so difficult to deal with when it comes to funding.
I want to talk a little bit about perception. The U of I released a survey last week of high school students across the state, some of whom are not going on to college after their high school graduation. And one of the reasons that some of those students gave is that they don't think going to a college or university in Idaho would be essentially worth it. Is there a perception problem among Idaho high schoolers for places like Boise State?
We certainly don't see it at Boise State right now. We're doing very well when it comes to recruitment both within Idaho and outside of Idaho. And with our new True Blue Promise Scholarship, we're really going to be in a position where we will be able to offer a student who qualifies for the federal Pell Grant enough of a scholarship that it will fully cover the cost of tuition. When you add that to the tuition lock that Governor Otter has recommended, I don't think an Idaho student has any excuse anymore that they can't afford to go on to higher education. I think the quality of the higher education experience at Boise State has improved significantly. I do think there was a day here in this valley when students looked at Boise State and then said, I'm going to go over to Oregon or Oregon State, or the University of Washington, where I'll get a better education. These days, when you look at the growth in our graduate programs, the growth in our graduate faculty, and how that contributes to a stronger undergraduate curriculum, I don't think there's any doubt that we're seeing a significant number of Boiseans, Treasure Valley kids, make the decision, no need to go out of state and spend all the out-of-state dollars. We can stay right here at Boise State. I'm sure the presidents of Idaho State and the University of Idaho can give plenty of good examples of Idaho kids who are making the decision to stay put. But that's a challenge that we fight year after year after year, and our job is to get better than those schools that once upon a time attracted so many Idahoans.
So how do you rationalize when you see that in a survey from the McClure Center, and then you know the message here is from you that perhaps that was an issue of Boise State at one time, it's not now. This is other schools, or is there a perception problem? Is there a gap, I guess, in understanding of high school students and the things, you know, the all of the things that you just mentioned that are the positives at Boise State?
Well, I think there could well be a gap in understanding. I don't think that there's many people outside of Boise who read and listen to the news every day that truly understands how we've changed as a university. And certainly if a student is leaving high school and they're living 150 miles from here in Rupert, Idaho, they might not know much about the Boise State of 2016. And that's on us. That's our job to get out there and do that. Our new True Blue Scholarship is really designed to be attractive to Idaho kids, and our recruitment counselors, for example, have decided this year they're going to spend more time in Idaho high schools outside of the Treasure Valley. Again, I think the Treasure Valley pretty much has figured us out, but it's in those outlying areas where we probably still have some work to do.
One of the governor's proposals is $10 million for what he's calling a tuition lock, and this is a program that would essentially lock in a freshman's tuition level over 4 years, assuming they meet some minimum GPA requirements and also graduate in 4 years. What's your assessment of that proposal?
I think that's a very good idea. I think we can do everything we can to offer scholarships to students, and that helps a great deal with the cost of a higher education. But the fact of the matter is that what really gets families is when you have these unpredictable tuition increases in sophomore, junior, and senior year. So you plan out your budget when the student is a senior in high school and you're thinking, oh, this is a five-year plan. Well, then you get into college or university and the five-year plan goes out the window because there have been some required tuition increases. By holding this stable for one class And again, we're still allowed to increase tuition for the next class, but that's the stability of one entire class or just one student going all the way through for 4 years with the same tuition, that's an enormous advantage for a family. And I think it also will do much to improve our retention rate and our graduation rate. The retention rate is usually affected because a student gets into the sophomore or junior year, sees some of these increases coming along. The parent says, well, I don't know, you know, I was counting on helping you under the old tuition model, not the new one. And they're off working part-time, deferring the date of their college degree. Again, you said it, this has to be done in 4 years, and that's what we're after.
One thing that it gets at is that it's almost a given that tuition will go up. Is that just the way it is in higher education in the state of Idaho in 2016?
Well, I don't. It probably is this year, and I'm glad you mentioned it, because one of the things we're struggling with in Idaho is that whenever the governor recommends the increase in salaries for state employees, which covers university employees, it only covers our employees on appropriated funding. So if we're going to give the 3% that the governor has recommended in this budget across the board in all of our universities, this doesn't apply just to Boise State, then the tuition increase, first and foremost, will be to cover the cost of all of those employees we have who work at Boise State or the University of Idaho, Idaho State, or Lewis Clark College, who clearly are not on appropriated monies. They're on federal dollars. They're on local funds. But they still deserve, assuming that they merit the increase, they still deserve the salary increase. So that's probably one of the reasons, that is one of the reasons why students can count on tuition increases, because the state has made a decision. Both the governor and the legislature seem to be in agreement on this, that they do not want to cover the full cost of a 3% change in compensation. And we're willing to accept that, but our state board has to understand that that's going to mean a tuition increase.
Going back to the legislature and JFAC and higher education seemingly being a higher priority than it has been, there are already interest groups and lawmakers who've looked at the governor's proposal as a whole and said, this is too much spending. We need to give money back in the form of tax breaks, et cetera. You have an opportunity here to address those people. How would you address them as somebody who is a president of a major university in this state?
Well, first of all, as a member of the Boise Valley for Economic Prosperity, I'm called in every now and then when a company comes to town with the interest of adding new jobs and adding a factory or an office or whatever it is. And I think the Boise Valley for Economic Prosperity administrators can tell you that it's never about, well, what are you going to do about your outrageous tax climate? We don't have an outrageous tax climate here. We have a tax climate that I think is conducive to growth. I know the governor believes that. And if you take a look at the level of taxation across Idaho, it's reasonable. The other thing, of course, I would say is that it's reasonable if you expect a positive role for state government in the conduct of state government business, whether it's Medicaid, or whether it is corrections, or whether it's higher education in K-12. And while on that subject, by the way, I think the governor did an excellent job in laying out a K-12 budget that is really going to be helpful for Superintendent Ibarra and all the school superintendents across the state and their faculties. So, again, I think there are people out there who look simplistically at a state budget as something to cut with no concern for what it does to the quality of life across Idaho, what it does for the potential of these young people leaving our high schools and moving into college and university. They expect to be supported. They need the kind of aid and assistance that the governor has recommended in this budget. And again, I commend him for it, and hope that while there will always be a few in legislative bodies who are more interested in cutting back than providing decent and quality services, I'm hoping that they will be outvoted by a majority who will see the governor's budget here as a very sensible approach to running state government.
Bob Kustra is the president at Boise State University. Dr. Kustra, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.